and want to continue and finish off this chapter here today in an ongoing study that started way back in chapter 10. And so let's go ahead and look at God's Word, Romans, and chapter 12, and we'll go ahead and start there with those first couple verses. I know you just got sat down. I'm going to ask you to stand again with your Bibles in Romans chapter 12. And let's go ahead and read for the sake of time the first two verses out loud and together. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, I praise you again and thank you for your word. We thank you especially for this chapter as we've absorbed so much about living as a living sacrifice. And I pray again that you'd help us to absorb just a little more. And thank you so much again for the challenge that's given here in your word. Not a challenge of living, but a challenge of surrender. And I pray again, Father, that you'd bless and touch your words this morning. Thank you again for the worship. Thank you again that we could gather with other believers. Touch hearts with your words. We'll give you all the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated as we pick up this chapter. We've already gone a long ways in Romans chapter 12. And let me go ahead and see if we can't just review some of that. Those opening verses that we had, Romans 12, 1 and 2, is what I have called my life verse since I was a teenager and was preached that with enthusiasm. And notice again that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. They are to be holy. They are to be acceptable unto God. And so we preach that again in our first charge and then also that we not be conformed to this world. Next, we went to review again through the next few verses that sometimes we overlook. Romans 12, 1 and 2 is probably well memorized by a lot of people, but boy, a couple of the next verses aren't that familiar to us. So I wanted to go through this whole chapter and just emphasize again the importance of being a living sacrifice and the how-to recipe that's given here. And so we see again as members that there's seven gifts that God gives to the church. Now, Corinthians has like a list of 13 gifts, and sometimes the church pursues the list out of the most carnal church in the New Testament, Corinth. And so again, that's the wrong list. Here's the list again that God gives to the church, and we've distinguished them, and so we went through that. And then a living sacrifice knows the Romans road to heaven. Ooh, I think that's true, all right. A living sacrifice knows the Romans road to heaven. Now, I've got a preamble on the Romans road to heaven. So let's do this. Let's go through each of these verses on the slide up here and see how well that we do know the Romans road to heaven, including what your pastor's added to a preamble to the Romans road. And let's start in John 3:16. If you need to turn there to make sure we get our wording right, let's do just that. Romans, or John chapter 3, verse 16, 17, and 18, and then 36. And then one more out of John 5:24. We've tossed in to kind of get the introduction to the Romans road. So if you have your Bible open to John chapter 3, let's do the Romans road preamble together, and then we'll walk through the verses of the Romans road. John chapter 3, verse 16, aloud and together, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Chapter 5 of John and verse 24. John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And then let's look again at that Romans road, starting in Romans chapter 3, 10, and then 23. The Bible says, for as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, the Bible says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And of course, Romans chapter 6 and 23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is Jesus, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then verse 13 of that chapter says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the Romans road. That's what, again, brought you to salvation, even if it wasn't in that sequence. It is the Word of God, and it is quick and powerful, and able to divide the thoughts and intents of man's heart. Our arguments aren't able to do that. And so, again, learn to use scriptures, and there's a set, again, right there that's excellent for... If you just go ahead and give that to somebody, there's enough scripture there, they could go home and they could get saved. Even if you don't carry them on through and lead them in a sinner's prayer. Again, listen, it's the Word of God that's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Use it. Memorize that list, and don't be afraid to use it. I try to run through that list and memorize all of them and walk through them while I'm driving. So sometimes if I drive right by and don't wave at you, you know what I'm going through in my head. I've drove by some pretty amazing scenes and not seen a thing again. Although I did miss that deer. And so again, memorize that scripture. That's a good one to have under our belt for just telling someone what they do to be saved. I'm not going to preach this list of 20, but in verses 9 through 16, there's a tremendous list of 20 things that are characteristics of Christians. We preached that, I think it was last week. And so today we want to go ahead and take up this theme out of Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 17. And this here again is 7 points on living peaceably. 7 points on living peaceably. Notice again the themes here is living as a living sacrifice. And so as we go through these again, it's just good to get our handles on this idea of living peaceably in this world. And sometimes we don't do this. And so again, just the list is here. Because it's important in our life that we learn to live in this world peaceably. And so, again, as upholding a Christian testimony as being a living sacrifice, there ought to be a peace. When you got saved, you are at peace with God. But when you live for Christ, you have the peace of God. And so here, notice again that this is an example or exemplification of this peace in our life, that we can be at peace with those around us. And coming up in 2020, you're going to need this list of 7 things right here just to keep from strangling some progressive liberal by the throat. So again, we are in troublous times, and there's we was talking on the way in, my wife and I, about how much Bible ignorance there are. We were actually talking about don't walk and walk and don't walk signs. Common sense ain't as common as it used to be, again. And I've used this line several times in Geneva. I've said to him, listen, I just watched you cross the street over there, and I want to give you some Bible verses to tell you where you're going to go when you go to eternity, because it looks like you're headed there pretty quick again. And so even crossing the street is dangerous sometimes for people who don't read signs. And you can't read signs anymore. There's no words on any of the signs anymore. Anybody notice that? All they've got is idiot pictures, and I can't understand half of them. Remember the lady who dumped water in her oil? Because it had a little picture of, it had the little spout there, and it had a little picture of a vase pouring water into it. So she said, okay, that's where you dump water in. And she, pictures. All they had to do is put 3 letters, OIL. I mean, that would have solved the problem. Sorry, that's a tangent. I don't want to get on tangents today. I don't have time again. So let's quick look at these things that we have listed here. Notice first one again. Is that we recompense to no man evil for evil. Evil, again, by definition, according to Strong's exhaustive concordance, I like, was a bad nature of a mode of thinking, feeling, acting based on wrong, wicked, troublesome, injurious, again, and destructive. And so notice again here that sometimes we have a tendency to do that. That's why it's in the list that we, again, recompense no man. What's it mean to recompense? Paying them back again. And you're going to find that theme unfolds here in these 7, that we get things stuck in our craw and we're saying we're going to get even. We're going to get this thing straightened out. We're going to recompense here evil for evil. And notice again that that's in our nature. Someone does you wrong, you're going to do them wrong. That's our old nature. This is talking about a new nature. Examples, again, would be someone speaks maliciously of you. Someone speaks of slanderously about you. Gossip and talebearing. And again, that's very hurtful and destructive. And our bane is that we would, again, go ahead and do the same with them. That we would come right back at them and that sort of thing. And again, that's repaying evil for evil. Cursing, swearing. You've had people curse at you and swear at you. If you have a driver's license, that's what that's all about. You got a license to make people angry again. And again, it's scary sometimes, the mentality that's on the highway. And people, again, do things on the road. And your tendency is to do it right back at them. That's returning evil for evil. And so again, be careful of that. I've watched again, and it's scary how many people try to use to teach a 2-ton lesson. You know how you teach a 2-ton lesson? When the Mennonites are riding 3 across on their bicycles down the road, what you try to do is you take your two-ton vehicle and you try to just nick the steering wheel of the last guy. That's trying to use your vehicle to teach a two-ton lesson. Well, I've seen a lot of that. It's scary how many people think that they can do that. I've again gone over, and when I'm passing a Mennonite buggy or a bike on the road, I try to get over the center line. So there's on the four-lane highway, they had a lane, but I moved right over, and I was tinking on the center line, going down the center line, and the car coming at me, what does he do? You'd think that any normal person would get over on the shoulder, but he didn't. He swerved over and tried to nick my mirror. He said, you're into my lane. I'm taking it back. Again, he's trying to teach a two-ton lesson. Don't look at me funny. You've probably done the same thing. When you got right on the tail of somebody and just stayed there because they were only going 30 and a 50. And so notice again that be careful of that. No, we have a tendency, especially while driving, to take vengeance in our own hand and to return evil for evil. And here's a warning that says, hey, don't be like that. Be aware that that's your nature, but overcome it. Recompense no man evil for evil. I got another whole section here. We won't cover it today, but how about assault? How about robbery? How about self-defense? How about packing for self-defense? Again, there's some things that as a Christian you need to consider. The Bible says eye for an eye. And what did Jesus say about that? He said a cheek for a cheek, didn't he? Jesus said when they smite you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. You need to have some thoughts about that. Some plans about that, and understand again, even in cases of law breaking, that we need to again have a clear understanding that we're not returning evil for evil. How about? Well, that's enough of that. I got a good example of that again here, coming up with the vengeance as well. And then the second thing in our list here is providing things honest in sight of all men. Remember, this is seven things to do so that we can live peaceably in this world. And here, again, we're talking about providing things honest in the sight of all men. To be good, I like this line, to be purity of heart and life. Honest. Purity of heart and life. And so we have, again, a challenge that we could provide things honest in all things. How about in our affairs at work? How about in our affairs in the home? How about our affairs with our neighbors? In all of our affairs, that we have an honesty in our life. I wrote it down here. I almost erased it a couple times. How about in our affairs on April the 15th? Honesty in all things. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And so again, that we could be people of our word, that we could be trustworthy. And again, this is on the long term, be living at peace with all men. And so we're not stirred up in other conflicts. And so again, understand here that we're to have that kind of integrity and honesty in our lives, in all of our affairs, in our business affairs. A lot of businesses say that they're Christian business, so they can take advantage of you. They figured, hey, if we're a Christian business, then Christians will come in here and they won't sue us because they can't sue us. It's against the Bible. And so again, be careful too. A lot of people who boast themselves as Christian businesses ain't. But again, we ought to behave ourselves in all of our affairs as honest here in this charge. Number three, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I love this verse. A lot of the verses, the Bible verses, are black and white. Thou shalt not, or thou shalt. This one here is like a sponge again. You can move it around any way you need. So let's look at some of these things. If it be possible, that implies that at times people and circumstances are just impossible. If it be possible implies that there's some circumstances you're going to run into where it is not possible. And certainly that's true, and all of us here have probably bumped into some of them. And so notice some judgment on our part is involved in that. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you. I like that line too. This implies that sometimes it's just not in you to be at peace with some people or in some situations. And then it says, live peaceably. This implies that there is a side of peaceable that is not perfect peace. And so sometimes all it can be is maybe peaceable rather than, again, a perfect peace and being at perfect peace. So all of those, again, to me anyway, when I preach this, says again that we're to live peaceably with all men. The three provisions, implications allow there that some humans might not fit in this category of peaceable. There's going to be circumstances where you just can't live peaceably in that situation. Let's go on, jump on to number four as he expands this list a little bit here. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. I want to look at that in two areas. Number one is that we don't avenge for ourselves. Do not avenge ourselves. When someone says something against you, you don't get even. You don't take vengeance on them. When someone kicks you in the shins, well, you finish that any way you want, I suppose, again. But notice here, again, that we're not to bring vengeance for ourselves when someone takes up against us. And then notice again, also in this context, well, there's two verses there. Let's look at them. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord, it says in Leviticus 19 and chapter 26 says, and I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant, and when ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send pestilence among you that ye shall be delivered of the hand of your enemy. And so notice again here that, hey, when you take vengeance on yourself, you're going to make God angry. And so there's some warnings here that's stern about us taking vengeance into our own hands. Numbers 31 allows that Moses could avenge himself of the Midianites. And you got to study a little bit what the Midianites did. But it was vile and it was a sin against God. And God said, Moses, go over there and avenge the Midianites for what they did. David writes some imprecatory psalms. I think we looked at one of those last week. Imprecatory psalm is where we summon evil against somebody. And boy, some of them, 109, if you read Psalms, I think it's 109 I listed there. That whole psalm, again, is like Psalms 88 that Brother Mungle read. It's like, man, this never stopped. And so it is at 109 that he's wishing that his mother would die young and that he'd never be forgiven of his sins. And I mean, boy, it goes on with a list of things that David wishes against the enemies of God, which were the enemies of David. And so we can look at that and say, hey, yeah, let's do that. I've prayed some prayers against Chuck Schumer that I've sat and thought and said, wow, is that really a proper way to pray for Chuck Schumer? After a little bit of praying about it, I said, yeah, that isn't too bad. Again, May he not finish half his term comes to mind again for politicians that need to be removed from office. So again, notice here again that even when it comes to vengeance for the Lord, you need to be careful. Notice what it says, avenge not yourselves and for yourselves, and even if it's a vengeance that the Lord is due, let the Lord take care of it. You and I are not equipped to take vengeance for the Lord. Let the Lord take care of it. In our own lives, and also when they've done something against God, We don't have the right to jump up and take arms against someone who's against God. Let God avenge himself. And so again, this idea of avenging ourselves. Be careful of it. Number five, but rather, I like this one. Rather than avenging yourself or avenging God for yourself, rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. A lot of people have moved the comma out of there, and to them this verse says, vengeance is mine, the Lord said so. Be careful where your comma goes there. Vengeance is not ours. We cannot take vengeance, no matter what. It belongs to the Lord. And so just be mindful of that, even in the justice arena. Now, I believe if someone breaks into your house and steals my 357, I should probably press charges. And so that's not taking vengeance. That's taking justice. That's pursuing justice. And again, there's some things here that you've got to consider. Where is it you turn the other cheek? And where is it you take legal actions against somebody? And so again, vengeance here belongs to God. And so we need to be careful. We could pursue justice without pursuing vengeance. And know the difference there. And weigh here what the Bible says. A lot of people, again, are stuck and have no peace in their life. This is all about living peaceably because they're about getting even with somebody. And so let's go on to number six, I think. Nope. Let's go back to verse 5. But rather give place unto wrath. I'll put some definitions of wrath there. I guess my slides are a little behind. I give some definitions of wrath there. Notice it says in the Ephesians, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil be speaking be put away from you with all malice. And so notice again that we have no place for wrath in a believer's life. And again, once you take up wrath, and my definition of wrath, I got this after teaching several courses on anger management, is that you can be angry and sin not. Is that what the verse says? Listen, your anger, I like to say, ends at the tip of the nose of the guy who's made you angry again. And so once you flatten his nose, you stepped into wrath. That's, again, taking action upon your anger and taking a vengeance or getting involved in violence. And so wrath, again, is a violence that's attached to being angry. And we've got no business being there. And so the only place for wrath in our lives, again, is that we park it and leave it alone, give it to God. It belongs to Him, not to us. And it's tied with the same idea of vengeance. So violent anger, again, notice again that has no place in our life. And notice again that in dealing with anger management and anger management counseling, this idea that you can have a hissy fit, that you can be so angry that you lay on the floor and kick your feet and slam your hands and have a little hissy fit. Listen, that's anger and that's approaching into wrath. And again, notice that we're not to be like that in the least. And so here as we see these, that we could live peaceably. Notice again, we have to deal with vengeance. We have to deal with this attitude of get even. We have to deal with things in our life that can make us angry. And there are things that we could be angry at. However, we got to draw a line and understand. If we're going to live peaceably in this world, all wrath belongs to God, not to us. All vengeance, it belongs to God. It does not belong to us. And so again, we've got to leave it there. Number six of our list. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Let me read you a few verses out of Matthew in chapter 5 here. It says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you." Jesus goes on here in his message of the Beatitudes and gives some instructions again about dealing with our enemies, and that we ought to be different from the world. That our actions towards people ought to be different. And so here we have the enemies coming up, even enemies of God. And our action toward them ought to be different. I'm looking at a whole platform, socialist platform, that's being set up right now and will come into play in 2020. And I'm thinking that whole thing is godless, every bit of it. Whether it be their ideas about abortion, whether it be their ideas about the effeminate, whether it be anything that is in that platform is a gross rebellion and shaking their fist at God. Boy, I could be real quick to stand on the corner and preach against that again. But we're to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to be, again, not taking those issues lightly. Certainly, it ought to dishearten us to understand the direction of our nation and the direction that it's going. And I don't know how many a majority is anymore. It used to be that those were city people, and we were half city and half country, and our country was divided right in half. Then again, we surged onto the a platform and put in a non-politician in the White House. Praise the Lord! And he's done all kinds of things that doesn't fit them and booted them and drained the swamp. And boy, they're angry. But I don't know how deep that angry goes. I've not heard anything even from my uncle, who is the most progressive liberal I've ever heard. But again, you know, I don't know how far they could go with this stupidity. It has gone pretty far. He's, again, a school teacher. He knows what socialism is, and he knows what it ain't. And again, so when we look at things again in our own country, even understand that there's some enemies that we have right here in our own country. I pray that Trump was right when he said this during his State of the Union, that this country will never be a socialist country. Well, I pray he's right on that. But again, the bet is, again, by the education of our young people, that we're headed there. And so I don't know who these enemies are, but it could very well be we'd be facing a whole new set of enemies real shortly here in persecution, even in our own nation. And so we need to pay attention to these things as far as having peace even here with our enemies. I think I gave it in here. Was a whole list out of 2 Kings chapter 6. Yes, it's on the bottom there. 2 Kings chapter 6. Remember where Elijah leads them all, they're blind, and he leads them right into Samaria. And the king there, I think it's Ahab, says, "Shall I smite them? Shall I smite them?" And Elijah says, no, give them some bread and water. Instead, he feeds them a feast again for his enemy, lays a feast out towards them. And again, it says right after that that they never came back into the land again. And so again, when we look at this, and I don't know exactly what to do with this, I've heard this preached a number of different ways about putting coals of fire on their head, it says there in that verse. I was thinking, yeah, that'll get even with them. We'll dump coals of fire on their head. I think, again, it's more, again, of being a conviction to them. That we, again, treat them right. And God can use that to convict their heart. It's not so much that we're seeking vengeance by putting coals of fire on their head, but again, we're making them think and giving them some hot thoughts to think about in our actions. And so notice again that living peaceably here in this world will involve some interactions with the enemies, will involve some interactions with persecution, will involve some interactions with anger. And here in these 7 verses, we're given some insights on how we should live peaceably in this world. And listen, we need it in this day and age. Look at the last challenge here in verse 17. Recompense no man evil with good. Be not overcome. I'm sorry. I got my verses mixed up. Verse 21 says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. A couple thoughts to think about here is one that, again, you can be overcome with evil. I'm not talking about losing your salvation, but I'm talking about losing your testimony. I'm talking about losing your peace in this life. And you can be overcome with evil. Here's the instruction: don't be, which means it's possible that you could be. Do not be overcome with evil. And we're walking into an election year that if you watch NBC or CBS or Lord help if you're watching CNN or MSNBC, if you're watching some of the world's reporting on what's going on in our world, you're going to be overcome. And so be careful what you're feeding your life and understand, again, it is possible that we could be overcome with evil. Be careful of that eye gate. Be careful of that idiot box in your living room. It's called that not accidentally, again. And so when we're careful of these things, understand that we could keep evil away from us. And we have a charge here to do that. And then lastly, it says one can overcome evil with good. You can overcome evil with good. And some of that, again, goes right back to that idea of putting fire on your head of your enemies. Again, hey, you can overcome that evil by your doing good. And so it, not so much that it be destroyed, not so much that it be got even with, but that it can be overcome. You can overcome evil with good. And let me just go ahead and emphasize through these 7 points. You cannot overcome evil by returning evil upon it. And so let's be careful here. We're looking for as best as lieth in you to live peaceably with all men. Let's practice that. Let's go ahead and watch these 7 things in our life and be careful of them. And again, we're giving a charge here on Romans 12, how to live as a living sacrifice. Be busy in the ministry, it says there in those first 7 charges that there's things that you could do, get doing them. Secondly, the list of 20 gives characteristics that ought to show up in our life. And you can't be Christian by forcing those characteristics into your life, but you can't be Christian without some of them ending up in your life. And so again, it's not so much that being that I don't want you to act Christian. I want you to be Christian. And so again, as we look at that, boy, again, understand that here's some recipes in our life in Romans chapter 12, how to live as a living sacrifice. And as we look at that list of things, again, I like to preach lists. Listen, the next time you read through your Bible, you go through this list, and I hope you're going to think of those 7 things. I hope you're going to think of that list of 20 when you hit this verse. And so the good part, again, of having a list, again, in the Bible is once you highlight it in your Bible and get a little note beside it there in the margin of your Bible, boy, twice a year when you go through your Bible, you'll bump into that. It'll be good for you again. You notice I threw in there that twice a year again, that is good for you again. So praise the Lord for that. And so use these lists, again, to help us be a living sacrifice. Father, praise you and thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that here it gives us a charge that we might learn to best as lieth in us to live peaceably with all men. Father, we need that. We need that in our own home. We need that in our family as affairs. We need that in this world. We need that in our workplace. We need that at the shopping mall. We need that, Father, in our lives. And so I pray that you teach us and help us, even in dealing with these things, and Father, to look to you and the great promise of your word to fulfill these things in our life, that we could, again, overcome evil with good, that they may look upon our good works and glorify our Father. We know you said, again, that's possible for us. So I pray that you just touch the words that we've looked at here in Romans 12. Help us, encourage, strengthen, and we'll give you all the praise. In the name of Christ, we praise you. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. I trust here again that you're a born-again Christian, that you've received Christ, that you have those characteristics. and that we could take on the challenges here of looking for peace in our lives as we walk into this new election year coming up. Let's stand and let's dismiss. Boy, it's good to be saved. Hallelujah. Let's just dismiss with the song, "Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul." Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free. Lord bless you for worshiping today. We got two more items of business. One is right after we dismiss here, we're taking the Alexanders up to my favorite Chinese place again, feed them a little dinner, and then send them on to Seneca Falls. They'll be back here tonight, staying at the church, and so Lord bless them for that. And the other is, if I could have all missionary kids come right up here to the front, all missionary kids. If you're a missionary kid, you need to come on right up here to the front, okay? And then I want you to, this is a missionary bucket, okay? And whenever we have missionary kids here, we dump this bucket out. I need somebody, wait, we already took up an offering here. It's a praise the Lord. I need someone who can pick this bucket up and carry it to the table in the back. And there's a coffee can back there, and as much coin as you can get dumped out of that bucket is yours. But you got to count it all. You got to divide it equally. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 ways. Can we do that? Even though, what's this, Elijah? Elijah's the littlest guy here, so he doesn't get as much, right? No. We're going to divide it equally 5 ways, okay? So go ahead and grab that bucket and take it to the back. Who can pick that bucket up? Take it back to the table back there and start dumping. Lord bless you for worshiping with us today. And Lord bless you this week. Hallelujah. You're dismissed.